Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Well, to staunch the flow of immigrants to the U.S., President Obama, who some now refer to as Deporter-in-Chief's Department of Homeland Security, has been preparing a national operation to deport Central American families who have evaded removal orders, according to government officials. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, a DHS unit, plans to start rounding up hundreds of families that entered the U.S. without documents and deport them. Joining us now is Oscar Chacon, Executive Director of Alianza Americas, an immigrant himself from El Salvador. Chacon is a frequent lecturer on Latino immigrant issues in the United States and the impacts of Latino diaspora in Latin America. And thank you for joining us again at a moment that I find terribly disturbing, and I'm just absolutely chagrined and do not understand the politics of the Obama administration in this proposal to ramp up the deportations focusing on Central American immigrants. And thank you for joining us, Oscar Chacon. Help us understand what the heck are the politics behind this tremendously disturbing development.
Mimi, it's a pleasure to be with you, and I'll be happy to try to explain the logic behind these news that were first published on the 23rd of December by the Washington Post, and it has subsequently been printed also by other major newspapers, including the New York Times. First of all, I mean, I think it is important to put this in a bit of historical context. The notion that if we as a nation treat in a harsh, very strongly driven by a logic of punishment, people who dare to come to this country without the proper visa, that will somehow stop, you know, the flow of people from doing so. It's actually a notion that goes back quite a few years. To be honest, I mean, it goes back many, many years. But in the most recent stretch of time, this notion was embedded into law back in 1986. It was actually part of a major immigration reform law that was passed in that year. And one of the components of that law was precisely to beef up military control of our U.S. southern border as a way of essentially deterring people, particularly from Mexico, to actually dare to enter the United States of America without inspection. That logic, unfortunately, has continued very much vibrant, you know, within policymaking in relationship to immigration. The 1996 immigration law took that notion to a much higher level, where, again, I mean, the idea that if we are harsh, if we punish with severity people who come into this country without visas, they will stop coming. This is exactly what has led to the situation we are dealing with now. As you may recall, and people who are listening may recall, going back about 2 years, a very significant increase in the number of Central American children, many of them unaccompanied, as well as families, began to enter the United States through the U.S. southern border. That surge was characterized by our own President Obama as a crisis at the southern border. As a result, a lot of people were being apprehended and kept in detention facilities at border town areas, particularly in Texas. And the ultimate outcome of that was that almost everyone who tried to enter, even though they were, you know, clearly coming here because they were stating so, as a result of conditions of persecution, violence, a total chaos in their local communities, and an overall lack of perception that there was any opportunity to stay home, they would actually issue deportation orders. They were given basically the initial proceedings towards their deportation, but in many instances they were let free because there was a lot of pressure on the administration that it was simply inhumane to pretend that these people should be kept in detention forever. And as a result, and I'm talking about essentially tens of thousands of cases, not hundreds or just a few thousand, but several tens of thousands of cases, which basically fall in what I just generally described. Many of these people, since they were released to family in the U.S., have actually been given court dates. Unfortunately, the majority of them have not been able to secure experience legal representation. As a result, court orders were reaffirmed, especially because when these people were supposed to show up for a hearing, nobody showed up, and so they were basically deported in absentia. This is the population that the news that we learn about on the 23rd of December are basically speaking about. And just so that we understand, there are about 13,000 active cases right now, namely cases that were already given a court date, nobody showed up, and the immigration judge issued a deportation order in absentia. That is potentially the population right now that may be the target of this supposed plan to go in the form of raids into their homes to actually retrieve them, put them in detention, and eventually deport them. Now, it's also important to keep in mind that number keeps growing on a daily basis because there are hearings happening on a daily basis. And as I already said, a lot of this population simply have not been able to secure adequate representation, because it is important for the people who are listening to know that while we acknowledge the right of people to pursue humanitarian protection via existing law, we do not provide legal representation to those people who are indeed fleeing for their lives. And the last point I would make is that even our existing humanitarian protection laws, particularly political asylum, is still a set of laws that were written long ago and do not quite reflect, you know, the conditions that are making people like Hondurans, Guatemalans, Salvadorians flee their countries nowadays. So there is even a need for us to review how in the international community to review the very theory behind humanitarian protection, because, again, humanitarian protection laws nowadays do not quite make room for people, for example, running away from gangs-driven violence in many of these countries, which, as most people should know, happens to be a very severe problem in every one of these countries. So that is the best way I can generally describe how is it that we get them into this news of this plan, you know, for a mass deportation. Now, one other piece of information I would add is we believe that at this point in time, it is important to make President Obama aware about how bad it would be if this plan indeed were to become official policy and this plan were to indeed be implemented, simply because it would create havoc, you know, within thousands of homes, thousands of households. There is a good chance that the people that they may be targeting no longer resides in the address that they had in file, but somebody else does. And so there will be a lot of collateral cost involved also in this kind of operation. And we feel, again, very strongly that right now what the president should do, if he really wants to shake off the notion that he is indeed deporter-in-chief, is to backtrack on this plan and acknowledge that this particular population deserves protection and not detention and deportation.
Well, Oscar Chacon, what has actually become of the announcement of the series of executive actions that included the deferred action for parents of Americans and lawful permanent residents, or what became known as DAPA, and things such as the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA. How does that juxtapose, or what's become of that in relationship to this really onslaught by the ICE through the really administration of President Obama?
Well, you may recall, and our listeners, you know, may welcome just a refresher. On the 20th of November, 2014, President Obama announced finally that he would grant immigration relief to two different segments of population of immigrants residing in the U.S. without authorization. One was essentially an additional layer of young immigrants originally excluded from the so-called Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. So that's why this program was actually known as DACA Plus, as well as a new segment of people who happen to be parents of U.S. citizens or U.S. permanent residents, but who they themselves didn't have, you know, immigration status. Unfortunately, by the time the president took these actions, after years of many organizations like the one I happen to lead advocating for the usage of that kind of authority, which we knew the president had, but that unfortunately president kept saying that he did not have the authority, it turned out to be too late, because even though we were in celebratory mode immediately after the announcement was made, the reality is that forces that oppose any kind of fair treatment of people who reside in the U.S. without authorization were able to neutralize, using the court system, specifically a lawsuit that originated in Texas and that was joined by, in the end, 26 other states. They were able to put an injunction essentially prohibiting the implementation of this program. And as of today, unfortunately, the case remains under injunction. There cannot be any implementation of it up until now. And the best hope that we have now is that the Supreme Court will schedule this case to be heard in their next term, and that they will affirm the right of the executive to grant this kind of relief. Now, that is the best-case scenario, what I am describing. There is a chance that the court may decide not to hear the case, in which instance, I mean, what is going to happen is that President Obama will go out of office by the beginning of next year without actually seeing any implementation of this particular law. That could also be an outcome. And so, to make a long story short, nobody has received immigration relief as a result of the announcement made by the president on the 20th of November of 2014.
Well, to get back to this recent announcement, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Jeff Johnson in recent months has warned that really their purpose is twofold. One, it aims to send the message to would-be crossers. Love the way they refer to people. This is their terminology. Would-be crossers, that they won't be allowed to remain in the U.S. And then they also seek to address the, they claim, the safety concerns involved as adults entrust their lives and those of their children to human smugglers. So that's the face that they're putting on this really expanded and targeted deportation process that they are about to go through. How do you respond to Secretary Johnson's thoughts on the matter?
Well, I mean, frankly, it's a very naive interpretation of why are these people coming to the U.S. I think it is unfortunate that you know, somebody so smart, I mean, as Secretary Johnson, who I understand, who I mean, definitely believe understand that the reason behind this latest flow of Central American nationals going all the way to the U.S. has essentially to do with the deep level of insecurity, the deep level of violence that these communities are facing, and the fact that the only country on earth where they have a relative, where they have a parent, where they have a brother, a sister, happens to be the United States of America, and that therefore we should be focusing on two things. On one hand, working patiently to overcome the reality of instability that is real now and that has been real for a while. And that's going to take, frankly, years, you know, for it to happen. And on the other hand, we should be protecting people who are running away from these conditions of insecurity, which, frankly, let me remind everybody, we have a degree of responsibility as a country because we ourselves have been in the business of sending back people who grow up in the U.S., who are foreign nationals, who became eventually involved in gangs, and we just send them back, you know, to Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, knowing perfectly well that these countries' governments did not have any capacity whatsoever to really manage in a smart way, you know, this particular behavior on our part. So, again, I think that the position that has been taken by the Obama administration, by Secretary Johnson, since the search, so-called search, of Central American children and adults coming to the U.S. began to take place, has been mistaken. I mean, they've been basically saying we have to put them in detention, we have to keep them detained for as long as need be, and when time comes, we need to be harsh in deporting them because that is the only message we can send that will result in fewer people coming, as if that is going to take care of the very triggering factors that are making tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, I would say, of people from these three countries in particular to make the harsh decision of having to leave their countries to come to a place like the United States of America.
And as we look towards the new year and what our agenda must be, and perhaps what is not being said by any of the candidates for office on the Democratic side, much less the Republican side, who are almost universally reactionary, what needs to be the message? What needs to be the immediate message in response to this ensuing action on the part of the Department of Homeland Security to step up deportation of Central American children and their families who are fleeing violence? What do we need to say and do about that and the ongoing agenda for meaningful immigration reform?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think that what needs to be done is to persuade President Obama that this is simply the wrong approach to the particular case of Central Americans trying to come in. What we need to do is to remind everyone that we are not talking about millions and millions of people. We are talking, in the worst of cases, hundreds of thousands of people who, frankly, do not represent a sizable number vis-a-vis, you know, our overall population. I mean, how is it conceivable that, you know, the arrival of a few hundred thousand Central American people seeking safe haven, seeking protection in the U.S., is going to put us in crisis? And second of all, I think it is important also to educate the population, educate even elected officials, people running for office, even our president, presidential candidates, that there is a big problem happening in Central America, which most people do not understand. You know, we tend to often say that protection should be granted, for example, to people running away from conditions of violence, persecution, war in the Middle East. Well, frankly, both cases are equally deserving, and we should be making everything possible to be indeed the beacon of hope that we have always been. Sadly, the flow of human beings, including those running away because of conditions of persecution, because of conditions of violence, have been conjugated, you know, with the notion that this may be people representing a national security threat. We need to once and for all separate, you know, the fact that there are people seeking safe haven from the fact that, yes, there may well be, you know, threats against our national security, but they're not at all the same thing. And for as long as we keep mixing them, we are going to simply keep ignoring our humanitarian duties, protecting people like those who are fleeing on a daily basis from Central American countries.
So the immediate message to Obama to protect, not to deport, who should we specifically direct our attention to?
Well, I think that the president ought to be target number one, I mean, in this particular effort to get us on the right track about protecting, not deporting people who are indeed running away for their lives and seeking safe haven in the United States of America. Second of all, I think that everybody who has come to learn about this issue over the last couple of years, be that, you know, a church leader, be that a local elected official, be that a U.S. representative, a U.S. senator, should also be voicing their concern about the notion that we are simply going to round up people and send them back to the very conditions that they left in the first place. I think that those are two key targets. Now, if the president were to come out and be supportive of this announcement, then I think that we would be talking of a different context, and the responses that would need to be given are going to be significantly different. But in the end, I mean, directed to essentially inject some common sense in our national policy so that we correct this potential threat of seeing tens of thousands of people becoming the targets of deportation. I think President Obama should think about his legacy. I mean, does he really want to be remembered as the deporter-in-chief, or does he want to be remembered as somebody who was able to inject logic and common sense to our debate and do what is right, even though it may not be the most popular thing? But again, I mean, many presidents before him have done tons of things that weren't popular, but that were absolutely the correct approach to take in a situation like this.
So call the White House switchboard at 202-456-1414. That is 202-456-1414, and say protect Central American children and families who seek safe haven. Do not raid and deport Central American children and families. And as always, Oscar Chacon, for the work that you do for enlightening us, we very much appreciate your being with us, and want very much for a sane, rational, humane immigration policy, which we obviously have take the responsibility for pushing on. And we have been speaking with Oscar Chacon, Executive Director of Alianza Americas. You've been terrific.
My best wishes to you and to all of your listeners.
And for all of you listening in the new year ahead, if we want peace, we have to work for justice. And let's make it so even more than we have in 2015. I'm Mimi Rosenberg. It has been a pleasure, as always, speaking with you.
Amanece, lo ves, a la luz de la aurora, lo que tanto aclamamos, la noche al caer, sus estrellas, sus tramas estrellas. En el viento combate, en señal de victoria, fulgor de lucha, al paso de la libertad, por la noche de día.
Nuestro himno from Somos Americanos. has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.